Okay, we're starting here at the top of Yud Chayit Amud Aleph by the Mishnah. Mishnah says, Orla v'kilei Kerim mitztarfim zeim ze. Orla and kilei Kerim are mitztaref. The same way as Rashi says we did by pigul notar. They'll be mitztaref together. Shinomer, ein mitztarfim. Rabbi Shimon says they are not mitztaref. Umar says, umi tzarech Rabbi Shimon tzrufe. Why does Rabbi Shimon need them to be mitztaref whatsoever? V'atanyo, we have a brayto, Rabbi Shimon omer kol shu d'makot. Rabbi Shimon appears in makot in Shavuot. Shimon believes that the shiurim of the Torah are only in order to obligate you in a korban. You need the minimum shiurim for korban. But when it comes to makot, koshuhu, any amount to be mechayev you. So over here, what do you mean? Ein mitztarfim, according to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon doesn't need a tziruf. The only thing that you can get punished for here by Orla and Kilei Kerem is get makot, and makot is a koshu. So Gemara says, you're right. Amend the Mishnah to read, tznei ein tzrichim letzaref. The Rabbi Shimon says, you don't need a tziruf. Orla and Kilei Kerem, the Matanakama says, mitztarfim zeim zeh. And then Rabbi Shimon will say, ein tzrichim litztaref. They don't need to be mitztaref at all, because he believes that a koshuhu is le makot. This din of Rabbi Shimon, just so you know, the Tosafot qualifies it over here and says, that din of koshuhu le makot is davka sha'isr ve'en. If the isr is there and extant, ve'ochlo, and you eat it. Aval, if the case is that it's a tarovit or it's mixed in with something else, then we don't say koshuhu anymore. I mean, that we don't talk about tam and tarovit, that'll be a koshuhu. But when the isr is extant and in front of us, then it will be a din of koshuhu, and therefore, Rabbi Shimon doesn't need any tziruf here by Ola and Kilei Kerem. Next Mishnah, habeged v'asak. Asak v'aor v'aor v'amabetz. Ulam mitztarfim zeim zeh. So over here we're talking about for tum'ah. For tum'ah, the Mishnayot lay out for us that there are different sizes or minimum sizes for different materials in terms of tum'ah. So the minimum size in terms of beged is 3 by 3 etzbot. By all forms of tum'ah, except for midras hazav, which requires 3 by 3 tvachim for a beged. The minimum size of a sack, is 4 by 4 tvachim. The minimum size of an or, of a piece of leather, is 5 by 5 tvachim. And the minimum size of a mapetz is 6 by 6 tvachim. So the Mishnah says, kulam mitztarfim zeim zeh. They're all mitztaref. Amar Rabbi Shimon matam. What's the reason they're mitztaref? Yunei shehein ruin li tameh b'moshav. Because you have the ability to make them into something that is ra'oi to sit on. So if you have two of these items, the more chamur one will help the more kal one reach the minimum shiur that it needs. So for instance, if you have a mapetz that needs 6 by 6 tvachim, and you mix in with it or leather, then if you get to the 6 by 6 tvachim by having mapetz and or together, that will be a qualified beged, because or only requires 5 by 5. If it requires only 5 by 5, then it qualifies even for 6 by 6. So therefore, what we have here is that you'll combine the kalshim imenu, the one that is of a more mekiel form, and it has a larger shiur, a larger minimum shiur. The one that is more chamur, which has a lower threshold, will be able to mitzaref the one with a higher threshold in order to be mitameh. Satana. Kitza mikulan. He takes all of these materials, and he puts together a beged. Rasameh and beged the mishkav shlosha. If he makes the beged in order to be a mishkav for laying on, then he needs a beged of a minimum size of 3 by 3 tvachim. Limoshav, if it's to sit on, he needs a minimum beged of tefach by tefach. Lachiza, for using for holding anything, koshu, any size will be mitameh. So here you have three different shiurim depending on what the utility of the beged is. So if you cut out a piece from any of these begadim or all of these begadim together, then the shiurim will depend on what you want to use it for. So if you want to use it to lay on, then you need at least a minimum beged of 3 by 3 tefachim, which can be a patch for a blanket. Or if you want it to be the moshav, be to sit on, then the minimum size is a tefach al tefach, in order that it could be something that a person sits on or has underneath of them. Lachiza, to grab a hold of something, you have no minimum. Koshu is enough. It's my lachiza. What is the purpose of this achiza? Amar Reish Lakish Amar Yana Shekein Omeid L'Nivala. It can be used for a nivala. Rashi and Tosafot explain over here, a nivala, a person who is weaving, oreget, used to put this on their finger in order so that they could run their fingers along the string, or that the strings would not be too slippery. I would think today in modern terms like a thimble, something where it's protecting the finger or it's making the finger less slippery, and because it has to run along the strings or through the strings, having this little cloth or beged on your finger will help you in that work. The other possibility is, good for the people who are cutting open the tzeinim. When they used to dry out the figs on the roof, before they dry out the figs, they used to have to make a slice into those tzeinim. So making a slice into those tzeinim, it was a very sticky work because of the dvash tzeinim, the juice within the tzeinim. And they used to put this little cloth on their finger to hold it so that it wouldn't get sticky while they were working with the tzeinim. So that's what the achiza means, kosho. And here we just had this line that qualified our Mishnah that says that the combination of all of these bigadim can have the different shiurim depending on what the utility of the beged is in order to be the minimum size to be tameh. We'll begin the next paragraph with this Mishnah. Nena min ha'ekdesh shaveh pruta. And really, this is the background of Mi'ilah. We talked about this when we did the introduction to the Masechta. But this is core, this is the story of Mi'ilah. These are the basics of Mi'ilah, which is, Nene min ekdesh ave pruta. Somebody gets benefit from ekdesh worth, a pruta's worth. Afo pish lo pagam. Even though he caused no depreciation in the object, mal. That's a din of Mi'ilah, divi rabbi kiva. Chamim arim. Kol of arshish bo pagam. An item that normally depreciates a non-durable lo ma'al achiv gom, that you're not mo'el until you actually depreciate it. Veshein bo begam, a durable good, kemen shenene, once he gets enough from it, mal, he gets mi'ilad, you just need a shove pruta worth of hana. Ketzad, let's have examples. Nadna katla b'tzavara, put a choker around her neck, meaning a necklace made out of gold that was of hegdesh, or Tosavot brings in the Yishami, the possibility it was a bracelet. Tabat biyadash, puts a ring on her finger. Shata b'koshel zahav, he drinks from a golden goblet. Kevin shenen emal. If you get one pruta worth of benefit, you are moel. These are all durable goods that don't depreciate, and therefore wearing them and getting enough from them is enough to have a din in mi'ilah. You do not have to depreciate them in any way. How do you determine how much that is? Rashi says, we evaluate, we assess, how much would a woman pay in order to wear these pieces of jewelry to some event, to some simcha. She wants to get dressed up. She likes this. How much would she pay in order to wear them for that night? So once she's worn them, that amount, that is the value of a pruta, then we say, you are moel. Now, these are examples of items that you have to be pugim. Lavash b'chaluk. He got dressed in a garment. Kisa b'talit. He wrapped himself in a cloak. Bika b'kardum. He chopped with a hatchet. No ma'al, there you're not well, achiv gom, until you've actually depreciated the item. So now we have a quote that we've seen twice before in our Masechta, which is an enem in a chatat, kashi chaya. Someone gets benefit from a chatat while it's still alive. No ma'al, achiv gom. There's no ma'ila until you have gima. Over there, the reason, and we've seen this before, we'll get to it in the Gemara, is because we're talking about a chatat ba'al mum. Chatat ba'al mum is omed damim for its monetary value, and therefore, you have to depreciate it, you have to have begam in it, in order that you'll be chayav in mi'ilah. Achrei mitach, shimeita, once it dies, kemen shenene, mal. As soon as it dies, once it gets enough from it, it is a din in mi'ilah. Because after death, there is no longer monetary value for this animal. And we'll get more of that further on in the Gemara. Now the Gemara is going to discuss the first half of the Mishnah. Tano, mode Rabbi Akiva l'chachamim. Rabbi Akiva agrees l'chachamim, davar sheish bo begam, with non-durable items that you have to depreciate in order to be chayav. But once you say that, Rabbi Kiva is the chachamim. So by kamiflegeis, and then what are they arguing about? Rabbi says that they argue about a middle garment and a milmale. The way Rashi explains this is that these are items that do have depreciation in them. They are long-living assets. As opposed to durables, which were going to last forever, they really have no begam in them. These are assets that do have depreciation. They're much more long-lasting, long-life assets. So for instance, a middle beged, which does not sit on the outside, it's not an outer beged, which comes into contact with that which is around it and wears down. It doesn't sit on the body, where it would absorb sweat and get ruined from that. It sits in between the two layers of clothing. So because of that, it's much more protected. And it takes a long time for it to have any depreciation, to have any begam. You get enough from it immediately. The begam only happens over time. The mil malay is a very expensive type of silk that they used to wear as a scarf that people wore once or twice a year. It was so expensive. It was so precious that people wore it once or twice a year. There again, it was a long life asset because people didn't wear it so often, so it didn't get ruined. Again, if you get a nah from such an item, it'll take a long time before it actually depreciates the item. So that's the machloket between them. If you have a long life asset, only wears down over a long period of time, but you get that nah immediately, is that considered to be a davar sheyesh bo pagam? Rabbi Akiva says no. Since it doesn't depreciate right away, it's not considered a davar sheyesh bo pagam. As soon as you're moel, bepruta, shavapruta, you're chayav. Chachamim say no, these items do depreciate. They're not durables. They are non-durables, even though they have a longer life or a longer tail than other non-durables. Nevertheless, you have to wait until you have begam. In order to be chayav, this is under the category of begam, and you have to have a begam before you are chayav. Tosavot brings another explanation, which is, the beged mitziah is something where depreciates right away, but it's not visible to the eye. As opposed to the depreciation of the outer beged or the inner beged, which you can see right away, that depreciation. The middle beged has depreciation, but it takes time for it to become visible. That's the machlokah between them. If you have something that you get anah from, but the begam is only apparent or evident later on, are you chayav to have begam or not have chayav to have begam? Rabbi Akiva says you don't need begam, you chayav right away. Chachamim say you still need to have begam, invisible begam, in order to be chayav. Right, now Gemara goes into the core understanding of mi'ilah. Where do we know this from? It says, Tanu Rabbanan nefesh. So nefesh ki tmo mao, v'chata bishkaga. That's the pasuk that tells us about mi'ilah. So nefesh, echad hayachid, v'echad anasi, v'echad hamashiach. There is no distinction drawn between peoples when it comes to mi'ilah, as opposed to the chatat. Where's the difference between a yachid, a nasi, and a kohen, a mashiach, a kohen, a gadol? Here there's no differentiation when it comes to mi'ilah. One korban for everybody. Ki tmo mao, ein mao ela shinui. What's mi'ilah? Mi'ilah means to change. So shinui from Kodesh to Chol, to profane something. Shinui mi reshut to reshut, moving it from one ownership to the other ownership. The word or the terminology that I use all the time is misappropriation of Ekdesh. B'chenu omer, and how do I know that? Because it says by Sota, ish ki tiste ishto umalo bo mal. A woman who leaves her husband and acts inappropriately with another man, umalo bo mal. She has traded him in for someone else. She has changed who she is miyached with. Vomer, and it brings another pasuk. Ve'im alu be'elokei avoteim, ve'iznu acharei elohei am ha'aretz. So they traded in. They exchanged their real God for the God of the people of the land. So why do you need two psukim? So as Rashi points out to us, there are two aspects of the mi'ilah over here. You have the aspect of gam, and you have the aspect of hana. And each one of these psukim talks about one of those aspects. Over here you have a woman who goes off with another man for her own personal benefit. That's her hana. Pagam, there's no pagam here. She's already a bula, she's already a married woman. There's no additional pagam that is created over here. So there the mi'ilah by the sota means hana without pagam. Over here, by the exchange of gods, over there, there's no hana. There's no benefit to these people to go after the false gods versus the other gods, but there's a pagam. They're leaving their true god and going to the other god. That's a pagam, to leave your god and go to another god. So here you have both aspects of mi'ilah. The two psukim, one pasuk tells you about the hana without the pagam, the other one teaches you about the pagam without the hana. Right. Tosafot over here. There's a large Tosafot over here. And he says, why do I have the Omer here? What's the reason you brought the extra pasuk? Why isn't the first pasuk sufficient? Ish ish ki tistei ishto mala mo mal. That's exactly what we're looking for. A change in ownership. So Tosafot there says that the difference is a question of, right. One case is a mi'ilah where you misappropriate an object of Hekdesh. The other one is where you actually utilize an object of Hekdesh. So the one is if you take money of Ekdesh, and then you buy something with it, you pay or you use it for something else, that's one type of mi'ilah. The other type of mi'ilah is you take an actual object of Ekdesh, and you utilize it. So that's the difference between them. The first, pasuk by mi'ilah by the sota, is the same object being used for a different purpose. And you take the Ekdesh object and use it for something else. This woman who belongs to one husband is going to another one. The case by the avodah zarah is a person is taking what was connected to Hashem, and now utilizing it towards chol, spending the money, using money, using chol, using kodesh monies, purchase or do something that is in chulin. In summary, Tosafot says that there are two types of shinuim that are being described by the psukim. There's a shinui that is hana'a, which is described by sota. It has nothing to do with shinui reshut, it's all about the hana'a. And then you have another type of shinui, which is the shinui described by the second pasuk by Avodah Zarah. There is no hana'ah, but there is a movement of ownership from one reshut to the other. And that's what Tosafot says the difference in the psukim is. Therefore, based on that, and you can see why Rashi went in this direction, is v'yachol pagam v'lo ne'aneh. Rashi says each one of these psukim represents one of these two aspects. I would think if you depreciated and didn't get ana, or you got ana and didn't depreciate, and something that is attached to the ground, real property, or v'shliach that carried out his agency, I would think that you would be chayav from me'ilah in all these cases. Tamalomar v'chata'a. It says by me'ilah v'chata'a b'shkaga. V'nemar, and it says chet by truma. Nemar chet by mitruma, v'nemar chet by me'ilah. It says, utilizes the word chet by truma, utilizes the word chet by me'ilah, there's a gzera shavu. Ma chet amur by truma, just like the chet that is by truma is pogem v'ne'ne. First of all, you're both pogem and ne'ne. You depreciate and you get ana. Umish pogam ne'ne. And the one who depreciates the item is the one who gets the ana. Ubedavash pogem bo ne'ne. And the item that you actually depreciate is what you get the ana from. Ubegimato v'anato ke'achad. And they happen simultaneously. Ubetalush v'nekarka. And they are separated from the ground. Ubeshliach she'shleish shlichuto. We're talking about a shliach that has done his agency. So here by Chuma, the Easter by Chuma is ish ki'ochal kodesh bishkaga. Person who consumes or eats Chuma when he's not supposed to. So eating of Chuma has all of these properties. When you eat something, number one, your hana and pgima happen simultaneously. You eat the food, and that's your benefit. It happens at the same moment that you depreciate, you ruin the food. That's when you get your hana. The person who depreciates, who eats it, is the one who gets the benefit. The pogem v'nene, and there are both aspects here. You both ruin the food, and you get the hana. So those are all together. The other thing is that it's talush. Truma is only taken from items that are talush min adama, min akarko, and therefore, we must be talking about an item that is talush. The last thing is shlichut. When the balabayit sends somebody to take truma on his behalf, the agency works. He's able to take off the truma on behalf of the ba'alim. Not that the shliach, it's not the shliach's truma, it's the ba'alim's truma, and it works. So too over here, af chet amur b'milah, the same thing will apply by milah. Number one, pogem v'ne'ne. So not like our havamina that you thought, maybe it could be begam without hana, hana without begam. No, you need pogem v'ne'ne. Umish pogam ne'ne, the one who appreciates the item has got to be the one who gets the hana. Ubedarash pogam bo ne'ne, the item that you would depreciate is the item that you're getting hana from. They happen simultaneously. Utalush bin a carcass with something separated from the ground. Uvshliach shasa shlichuto. And a shliach who carries out, an agent that carries out his agency, you will be chayav for mi'ilah. This is the exception to the rule. We have a rule throughout the Torah that ain shliach l'dvar avera. There is no such concept of shliach l'dvar avera. The exception to the rule is mi'ilah where there is shliach l'dvar avera. Here is the limud. Because just like by truma, agency works to have you be mafrish. You, the person who is the sender, is able to accomplish the mitzvah of hafrasha trumo through the agent. And the agent acts on your behalf. So too over here. The agent who acts on your behalf, if he does the shlichuto like you said to him, you will be moel, not the shliach. Now the Gemara says, okay, I would think they're really like each other. Now the Gemara is going to say, well, they're only somewhat like each other. And that is, ein li ela ochel v'nehenet. I only have a case where he ate it and he got benefit. That's the case by Truma. How do I minayin, and the davar shein bo begam, I don't think belongs in the gears over here. Minayin, how do I know that also by mi'ilah you'll be chayav for achilato v'achilat chavero? Where if you ate it and your friend ate it, haniyato v'aniyat chavero, you got enough from it and your friend got enough from it. Hanato v'achilat chavero, your benefit and your friend's eating. You're eating and your friend's benefit. I don't know their mitzareim to make you chayav. Afilu lizman ruba, even over a long duration. Doesn't matter. If there's me'ila here, you are going to be chayav. So first of all, the mizman ruba means, even if part of it was done in the beginning of the day, part of it's done at the end of the day, there is no shi'ur, or threshold, by which you are measuring the mi'ila. By achilat shuma, by other things you have, kibidei achilat pras, has to be done, behelam echat, all of these items that govern where the avira must be done in order to be chayav. Mi'ila does not have that. It's zman ruba, even across a whole day. You got hana of a half a pruta in the morning, hana of half a pruta in the afternoon. You are chayav for that in the din of mi'ila. Number two, What about this din of him and his friend eating it? So when you have you eat it and your friend eats it, well, you're getting benefit and your friend's getting benefit. So why are you chayav for both? So Tosafot explains over here, it's clear that if your friend ate it by himself, then you're not going to be chayav for his anah. We can't be mechayav. Even if there's a shliach, the dvar vera, b'mi'ilah, there are exceptions to the rule, to that which is, includes things that you get hana from. When you get personal hana from something like that, you can't say that there's a shliach, the dvar vera, and want to assign the hana to the other individual. So what we're talking about over here is achilato, he ate it. And achilat chaviro is where he stuck it into the throat of his friend. Pushed it into his friend's throat and the friend swallowed it. So that it wasn't done through shlichut. Rashi seems to indicate that it was a case, maybe where he invited him over to eat and he wasn't aware of it, that it was mi'ilah, and therefore his benefit, the balabait, is benefiting from achilato, his eating, and what he's feeding his friend. Tosfot's not willing to accept that someone else can get hana, and you'll be responsible for it. Therefore it must be a case where you popped the food into his mouth, you did it, and you caused him to eat it. In all these cases, we'll allow you to combine the different aspects, different actions over here, to be into one action or one chiyuv when it comes to mi'ilah. So now Gemara says, "Ima chet amur b'tshuma lo tziref shtei achilot ke'achad." Just like by chet by tshuma, where they did not bring together two achilot into one, so afa chet amur b'imel lo tziref shtei achilot ke'achad. Maybe by mi'ilah we should say the same thing, that two achilot should not be able to be joined together to become a single achila, meaning that you need an achilat kezayit by tshuma, and that achilat kezayit must be done in one action or within a kdei achilat pras. Yet by mi'ilah, do you require the same thing? Do you require the same thing by the pruto of anah, that all be done with a, you know, within kdei achilat pras in one achila? I would think that's the same thing as tshuma. Minayin achal hayom v'chal hamachar. How do I know that if you ate today and tomorrow, even over a long duration? So Rashi points out, we just said that before. With the first case, we said, afilu zman ruba. The zman ruba in that first case is within a single day. In the morning and afternoon of a single day, you'd be chayav. This zman ruba means even over multiple days or multiple weeks, are you still chayav? Timo mao mikol makom. So now again, ima chet amur b'tshuma b'gimato v'anato ke'achad. Just like by the chet of tshuma, there, the pima and ana happen simultaneously. The next couple of words probably don't belong in the girsa. How do you know that for mi'ila, even from now until 3 years from now, how do you know? Tamil Omar, til mo'mao mikol makom. Til mo'mao means even over a long duration of time. So here we had again, within a single day, over a couple of days, and then a couple of years. If you get a hana from kektesh of mi'ilah, you can mitzarek the whole thing to a pruta. Again, another havaminam, ima chet amur b'tshuma, I would think the chet by tshuma, ad she'et say min hekdesh l'chol, until it leaves hekdesh, until it's chol. By tshuma, it was kadosh l'tshuma, you ate it, you profaned it, it's no longer a tshuma anymore, you made it into chulin. So that's the same thing over here. Maybe by the case of mi'ilah, you have to remove it from the ownership of hekdesh to the ownership of chol. Minayin, that if min hekdesh l'hekdesh, how do I know if you transfer from one kodesh to another kodesh? That's also considered mi'ilah. Gagon, an example. Lakach kinei zavim v'kinei zavot v'kinei yoledet shakal shiklo. What he did was he took monies of Ekdesh that were kadosh for Ekdesh and he spends them on his benefit, but his benefit in kodesh. He buys korbanot with it. He buys a pair of birds for a zav, a pair of birds for a zava, a pair of birds for a yoledet. He uses that to pay his shekel, which is going to go to the Trumat HaLishkah, it's going back to Hekdesh. He brought his korbanot with it. He brought all these items from Hekdesh. Kevin Shotzi Ma'al. As soon as he spends that money, he is Mo'el Dibri Rabbi Shimon. Until the dam is Nizrak al-Gabe Mizbeach. So the machloket between them is, at what point are you no longer responsible to bring a korban? Rabbi Shimon believes that once you brought your chatat vasham to the mikdash, you're no longer responsible. You are responsible. If something happens to your chatat vasham, you're still responsible to bring a chatat vasham, even though you were mafrishit for a korban, you separated out the animal. When is the point of time where you're absolved of your responsibility? That's when you bring it to the mikdash. Once it reaches the mikdash, even if it doesn't end up in the mizbeach, you're no longer responsible to bring a chatat and hasham. You've done your duty by bringing it to the mikdash. That's Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Now then, Rabbi Yehuda believes you're not patur. You have not discharged your obligation to bring the korban until you did the zrikat adam ala mizbeach, until you brought the korban like it's supposed to be brought. So their machloket is, at what point is the threshold beyond which you're not responsible? At that threshold, that's the point in time where you're Moel. Because until that point, you've gained no benefit from Hekdesh. If you buy an Asham, but you didn't bring it to the Mikdash, you've gotten no benefit from it, because you still have to bring another Chatat. Until you, once you brought it to the Mikdash, then you've done Mi'ilah, you've accomplished Mi'ilah, because you've done what you're supposed to do, you've now discharged your obligation. Same thing according to Rabbi Yehuda. Until you brought it and the Zrikat Adam is done, you have been Moel, because that is the determining factor or threshold for when Mi'ilah happens. That's when you benefit from it. So Minayin, how do I know that in all these cases there is a din of Mi'ilah, even though it's not going from Kodesh to Chol, it's going from Kodesh to Kodesh? Tamal Omar, Timo Mao Mikol Makom. Again, this Timo Mao comes as a reboy to tell us that Mi'ilah applies in all these cases. So even though we have a Gezeirah Shavah between Chet Chet, between this and Trumah, that only teaches us the core principles of Mi'ilah. Again, that you need Pagam, you need Hana, that Shlichut works over here, that there is a Shliach Devar Avera. Talush Bekarg, Mechuber Lekarka doesn't have a din of Mi'ilah. As well as the fact that Mishim Pogem has to be Ne'eneh, and Begimah Tov and Tov Ke'achad, all those items we learn, those core principles we learn out of Trumah. But other principles we will not learn out of Trumah, and the Mi'ilah will be different because of the Reboy of the Pasuk, Timo Mal. And therefore we will not be exactly like Trumah, we will only be partially like Trumah, and like Trumah in the core principles of Mi'ilah. That's what the Gemara brings to learn out that Begam and Hana'ah are both necessary by Mi'ilah. I just note over here what's interesting, what the Gemara discusses over here, moving something from Kodesh to Kodesh, is that really the case? Because we said over here that Truma is a case where you move from Kodesh to Chol, you profane it. By Kodesh to Kodesh, what really happens? The reason that you're successful at doing this is because when you misuse or misappropriate the monies of Ekdesh and then buy a Korban with it, what effectively happened was, when you took the monies and spent the monies, they went from Kodesh to Chol. And then when they went from Chol back to Kodesh, when you purchased the Korban. So yes, they moved from Kodesh to Kodesh, but there's probably an interim step in which they became Chulin because you misappropriated them. What the Gemara is saying over here is that that misappropriation or that din of Mi'ilah only applies when you get the benefit from it. That benefit only happens when you reach the Mikdash or when you put it on the Mizbeach. Since the Mi'ilah only happens at that point in time, it's already been spent in Kodesh. So even though technically you went to a stage where you profaned it, bought the Korban, and now you made it Kodesh again, so it's really Kodesh, Chulin, Kodesh, that doesn't matter for us, because truthfully, the Mi'ilah, or the act of Mi'ilah only takes place when you bring it to the Mikdash, or according to Rabbi Shimon, or according to Rabbi Yehuda, when you put it on the Mizbeach. At that point in time, it's already Kodesh, and it's really being moving from Kodesh to Kodesh. And that's why the Gemara brought that, and the examples that are brought here of all these Chata'ot, or these obligations that after you brought in terms of Karbanot, when is the obligation discharged? When it's already Kodesh? And that's the situation of Kodesh to Kodesh, that we are merabeh through the words of Timo Mal. Okay, we'll stop over here.